Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
All right. Hey, y'all, grab your copy of God's word. Go with me to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. So I expect that almost all of you here have a cell phone, or you've talked on the cell phone, or you use the cell phone. You know what one is. Maybe you have a cell phone like Channon's. You can't hardly text anybody with it. He's in the process of turning it off right now. Caught you red-handed. Red-handed right there. All right. And they're really cool. I mean, they are really cool. They're really helpful. They're all those things. But have you found out that your cell phone's not very reliable? Ever have a dropped call? Have you ever been talking to somebody and, man, you're just talking away, talking away, and all of a sudden your phone rings with it by your ear? And you look at it and you say, well, that was the person I was talking to. Why are they calling me when I'm talking to them? And then they pick up and say, hey, you dropped the call and all this stuff. And you're like, what was the last word you heard? And you realize that it's been like 30 minutes of you talking to yourself there. Man, that happens all the time. But they're infamous for dropped calls. And there are certain places that are infamous for dropped calls. Like, where do you most likely, if you're on the phone, where are you going to get a call dropped driving around here? Twin Bridges. Twin Bridges every time. Just count on it. Where else? Okay, all right. You know where it's at? All right, there where 585 crosses. Right when you drive in your neighborhood? All right. Yeah, that's true. When you turn on Alberton Green Hill Road for me, from there until Bays Fork Road is a dead spot. You know, they're everywhere, aren't they? You get into them and the phone is just going to drop. So cell phones can be really unreliable. In fact, remember, I mean, it was an ad campaign for like a decade. Verizon made a ton of money, I suppose, on that one commercial where the guy would walk around to remote places on the phone and say, can you hear me now? And we all say that now, don't we? It's just part of the American vernacular, right? But cell phones are not the only place that we can experience communication problems. In fact, communication, period, is wrought with problems. There can be issues with the sender of the communication. For instance, have you ever tried to say something, but the wrong word came out? All the time, right? We've all been there before. Like for preachers, one of those words is the word prostrate. Where you talk about angels bowing before the Lord. We have to be very careful to not leave out the second R. And I've said the wrong word, which is fine at the doctor's office. But not, it's a little embarrassing from the pulpit. In fact, I'm blushing now, right now as I say it, right? Or like the story Ed Gent, our education pastor, he told me about one of his former pastors who was a great pastor, but he had a tendency to say the wrong word. And one day that pastor was preaching, really get into it, and he said, don't annihilate your children. And he said it over and over again, like it was a really important thing. He didn't want anybody to annihilate their children. And everybody was looking like, that's great, but why is he telling us not to do that, you know? Well, afterward, Ed said, brother, you kept saying annihilate your children. I think you meant alienate. He said, no, that's what I said. He said, no, you kept saying don't annihilate your children. And he meant don't alienate your children. So we've all been there before. So there can be issues with the sender. There can also be issues with the receiver of the communication, like ever trying to talk to a person who's hard of hearing, right? Really, really tough. Like every Christmas, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Aunt Bethany. You know, it's Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas. I'd like her to lead us in saying grace. What? Grace? She died 30 years ago. And then she ends up, as they're still trying to communicate with her, she stands up and does the Pledge of Allegiance instead of the prayer. So sometimes the receiver can't hear good, or sometimes they're distracted. Parents, you ever try to talk to your kid while they're watching YouTube? Or when your spouse tries to talk to you while you're texting, okay? It happens, right? You get distracted. So there can be issues with the sender of the communication. There can be issues with the receiver. But there can also be what communications experts call interference. Like when you try to talk at a rock concert, right? When you're at that Def Leppard concert back in the day, right? It's just really hard to hear over all of the music. Or those of you every day, if you work in a factory, with all that loud machinery going, and someone's trying to talk to you, and you can't really understand what they're saying, and you're trying so hard. It just, there's a lot of interference. It makes it really tough. Too much interfering with the communication. But one issue that we often don't think about when it comes to communication problems is a problem with our heart. Now, again, when you think about in your life, where do the communication problems come from? Sometimes it's the sender. They said the wrong word. Sometimes it's the receiver. They just didn't get it right, or there was some interference. But most likely it comes from your heart. It's these heart issues that really cause the most communication problems, like that smart-aleck remark that you made, or that harsh response that you gave, or that slice-and-dice rant that you went on. Or, this is communication too, the refusal to speak to someone for the past 2 weeks. That's communicating something right there, isn't it? All of these communication problems and so many more are heart issues. And before you know it, your heart and your relationship are all chained up. All chained up, locked up. Don't answer this out loud. Rhetorical question here. Who is the person that you have the hardest time communicating with? Who is the person that you have the most communication issues with? As you think about that person, here's the follow-up question. Does that relationship sometimes feel like it's all locked up in chains and you can't break free? You're stuck. Well, tonight we're going to continue in our series called Chain Breaker. We're dealing with practical issues that people often struggle with. These are issues the devil loves to use to chain people up. Tonight we're going to try to help you break the chains of communication problems, all right? I want you to listen to how important communication is. Our sort of foundational text for tonight is Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21 says this: from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. In other words, the words that come out of your mouth become your food. They become part of who you are. They energize your life. They give direction and energy and all the things that food does for your body. Your words do that for your soul in one sense. And then also, secondly, it says that the words that come out of your mouth can kill or sustain life. How many of you have been slaughtered by someone's words before? Been there. But how many of you have been lifted up and sustained and you went on because of the words that came out of somebody's mouth? Been there and done that too, man. Much rather have number two than number one. Proverbs 12:18, just again, basically the same thing, but I want you to hear it a little different way. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So words can be that slashing, thrusting sword, or a soothing balm that brings about wholeness and blessing. Communication is very important, y'all. Very, very important. Therefore, we should be the best communicator that we can be. In fact, we should be a godly communicator. Okay, so here's tonight's task. This is not everything you've ever needed to know on the topic of how to be a better communicator or how to be a godly communicator, but it'll get the ball rolling in your life, okay? The things that we're going to talk about tonight will be very helpful, very practical to help you along the way. So tonight, I'm depending heavily on a resource called Building Marriages God's Way. It's a great resource from Faith Biblical Counseling. The whole book is on marriage, but what we're going to learn tonight and the things I'm pulling from it are useful for every relationship you have. It's just true that marriage is usually where the most communication problems happen, okay? So, tonight, how to be a godly communicator. Five ways tonight. First is that you need to understand what godly communication is. You got to get that definition down. You see, godly communication is more than merely effective communication. Effective communication simply means that the receiver understood the sender's message as the sender intended it, okay? So in other words, if Channon stood up and said, Ben Simpson is bad to the bone. And he could stand up and say that because sometimes I am bad. But, and let's say I take that as a compliment to mean that Channon thinks I'm one tough dude that nobody should mess with. Man, that's all well and good, right? Really bumps up my machismo, right? All right? That's effective communication if that's what Channon meant. But if Channon really meant that Ben Simpson's a terrible person to the very core, then that's a whole different thing. That would be the result of poor communication. So for communication to be effective, the sender and the receiver must have the same understanding of what has been said. But we're looking for something more than that. We're looking for something higher than that in our communication. We don't want the message to simply come through. We want it to be a good message, a godly message, more than effective communication, because we could communicate really harsh things effectively. You've done it. You've said some awful things, and the person who heard it knew exactly what you meant. The sword thrust in the spot you intended it to thrust. We could effectively communicate death. And so our aim has to be higher. So what is godly communication? Here's how I would define it. Godly communication is communication that glorifies God and aims to impart life. That's what godly communication is. Communication that glorifies God and aims to impart life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is one of those great general foundational text for our life. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So does that truth in the Bible here include your communication? Absolutely. The word all here includes your communication. However you communicate, you are to communicate to the glory of God. It matters to God how you communicate. In fact, and this is crazy, y'all. I mean, it's hard to even fathom. It's scary to think about, just to be honest with you. You will be held accountable for every word. You will be held accountable for every eye roll. You will be held accountable for every sarcastic tone with which you uttered. You will be held accountable for every groan that came out of your mouth. A lot of groaning around my house, man. Sam, my 4-year-old, you can tell him to do something, he'd be, I'm like, what? Where's that coming from? That's got to be a Hall thing. It can't be a Simpson thing, right? You got to learn that from his mama's side. A lot of groaning around my house, and they're going to be held accountable for it. And Dad tries to hold him accountable for it now, but nevertheless. But listen to what Matthew 12:36 says. Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. We should everyone think before we speak and ask, does what I'm about to say glorify God? And that's really hard. Maybe you're a type of person that likes to talk, then think. You don't measure your words. You throw them out there, and then you try to take them back. God will hold you accountable for every word. Or maybe you're the type that's really calculating, and you are really good with your words. Man, like that swordsman in the Olympics that fences and gets that gold medal, you know how to use that tongue to get exactly what you want and to inflict the most damage just where you want to do it so that you can win. You'll be held accountable. So our communication should glorify God, but not only should it do that, it should aim to impart life. It should aim to impart life. We should only speak words that aim to better people and to build them up, not to throw them on the trash heap. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Now, if you're a thinker, you're immediately going to spots in the Bible where it seems like that didn't happen. That's where my mind went. When I read that passage, I'm thinking, does that mean that we can never say something negative? Did Jesus speak in an ungodly way when he said in Matthew 23:33, "You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell?" Well, did that aim to impart life? Well, it did actually, right? We know from Scripture that Jesus never sinned, right? So we've got to expand our thinking on what does it mean to aim to impart life. And it doesn't mean that you say you're always the positive one. Jesus never sinned, guys. So we have to conclude that godly communication can include negative speech if it's true and if it's meant to awaken people to their sin and lead them to godliness. So negative things don't have to be said in a sinful way. Remember in the Scripture when it says, speak the truth, how? In love. Speak the truth in love. So we have to understand what godly communication is. Godly communication is that which glorifies God and aims to impart life. Second, to be a godly communicator, you need to realize that there's more than one way to communicate. There is more than one way to communicate. So when we think about communication, we often think about spoken words, don't we? What we're doing right now, I'm communicating to you. You've been doing that all day, maybe in your job. But there's so much more than that. Communication is multifaceted, and each facet provides important information. For instance, it's not just the words you say. It's the tone with which you say it, and it's the bodily nonverbals that you send with it. For instance, if I say, "He is so cool," that's way different than I say, "He's so cool." One communicated admiration, didn't it? Man, he is amazing. The other one communicated disdain, disgust. I use the same words. I literally use the same words. He's so cool. But you see how each one there, y'all, communicated something totally different? So we have to be careful of not just our words, but also other facets of communication, such as our tone and our nonverbals. And if you have a teenager right now, that's something you're really having to teach them, right? I mean, I'm just speaking from experience right now in my home, okay? What did I say that was wrong? It's not what you said, son. It's how you just said it to your mother. That's the issue. It's not what you said. It's how you said it. So communication problems often arise, and this is really, 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 really important, okay? They often arise when we choose communication mediums that can't deliver all three of those facets. And we assume what's left out, all right? We assume what's left out. You see, if words, tone, and bodily nonverbals are the facets of communication, which of these three mediums delivers all three? Talking in person, talking on the phone, or texting or emailing or writing a letter? We'll just say texting. Which of those mediums delivers all three? Words, tone, and nonverbals. The first one, in person, right? Talking in person. Which one can deliver only words and tone and can't deliver nonverbals? Talking on the phone. Which one can deliver only the facet of words and cannot deliver the facets of tone and nonverbals? Texting. Woo! Oh, y'all are getting some bad memories coming back to me right now. I know just even as you said that, right? So guess which one is likely to cause the most communication problems if it's used? Texting. And we've all been there, right? You text something with nothing but kindness in your heart, and it comes back, the person is like, "I can't believe you said that to me." you ain't going to talk to me like that. And you're like, whoa, what just happened here? Well, you see, they were missing information. And they assumed what was not in there. Most likely, here's the deal, guys. We typically read texts, in particular, with whatever's in our heart about that person, right? So if we think they're a jerk, even if they're being as nice as they can be in that text, you're reading it like, yeah, you're gonna come by my office when? Yeah, you know, that's what you do. You assert and plug in all those negative emotions that you maybe already have about that person, okay? Your expectations of that person. Which one's the second most likely to cause communication problems? The phone. Because nonverbals are missing. How important to communication are nonverbals? Incredibly important. Incredibly important. It really makes a difference. All right? It really makes a difference. So the phone is better than texting, but it's still not the best choice, okay? The best choice to communicate important stuff. Again, we all text. We all talk on the phone. But if you really have something important to say, say it in person so that they get the fullness, all the information that's available to be given, your tone, your nonverbals, and your words. And what if you use the wrong one? You send out that text, and all of a sudden you got a text back. It's like, whoa, I have stepped in a mess right here. What do? Then you pick up the phone immediately, right? Or if it's the phone, as soon as you can, you get there in person, okay? So in order to be a godly communicator, guys, you have to realize there's more than one way to communicate, and you've got to use the right mode of communication. Third, know that communication arises from your heart. This is so important. I mean, this is just a foundational biblical truth. What's in your heart will come out verbally and nonverbally. Listen to Matthew 12:34. The last part of it anyway. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. If bad stuff comes out of your mouth, what does that tell you? There's bad stuff in your heart. There's bad stuff in your heart. Your heart is filled with bad stuff. When bad stuff comes out, you know you have a heart issue. And I'm not talking about the four-letter words. I'm talking about the harsh words, the gossip, the lies, the cutting someone down, all those things. I'm talking about when you're rolling your eyes behind someone's back or when you're mocking them or whatever it is that you do, right? If bad stuff's coming out of your mouth, out of your body, it's because it's in your heart. So what does that mean you need? You need a clean heart. And then what David prayed? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. If we're going to have godly things that aim to impart life to come out of our mouth, we need to fill our hearts with those things. So how do we do that? Let's brainstorm that for a moment. How do we fill our hearts with the things that will be godly and impart life? What do? It's not a trick question. It's pretty basic, a lot of it, okay? But let's just, for the practice of it so we hear it. What do? What's that?
Get in the Word.
Get in the Word, right? What else?
Memorize Scripture.
Yeah, memorize Scripture. That's good. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, right? We sing. God, those things are hard. We surround ourselves with people who love the Lord, and good things come out of them, right? Because good things and bad things are contagious. Bad company corrupts what? Good morals. All those things are really important. Because if you ever notice, you hang out with people who gossip and who are negative, and all those things, guess what you end up doing most of the time? You end up being the same, right? It's easier for people to pull you down than it is for you to pull them up. All right? So you got to be careful who you hang out with. So be careful to fill your heart with those things, because communication arises from your heart. Fourth, to be a godly communicator, learn to shut your mouth. And that's from the Bible. I don't know if they would say learn to shut up. I don't know if they've used that word. Around my house, we don't say that word. There's a lot of words we don't say around my house that maybe other houses say, okay? My wife is really particular on some of those things in particular, but learn when to shut your mouth. I want you to listen to some Proverbs here for a moment. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. You know what that means? That means the more you talk, especially in conflict, the more likely you are to sin. If you're the one who's, maybe you're the type, you've got to get in the last word. You just, whatever they said, it doesn't matter what it is. You're going to jump in and say just one more thing. Many words. Transgression is not lacking. Learn when to shut your mouth. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Man, isn't the Bible true? I read that passage. Let me say that again, because that's good. Y'all need to tweet that. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. You got to learn when to shut your mouth. And this is my favorite one, Proverbs 17:28, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. So if you're in an instance where things are heating up and you feel conflict rising, this is important for you to think through. Let's think through it now. When should you shut your mouth? What do you guys think? When should you? Think of the situations you've been in. When should you shut your mouth? What do you think? When you're angry?
Probably you should keep your mouth shut from the beginning until you've heard the full context of whatever the person is telling you being a complainer.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, you don't have all the information. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else would you say?
Maybe when you realize that you're ahead of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, yeah. And you can be. They're not ready. You're trying to break in the door and they're trying to hold it shut?
And maybe when you've been there before.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You guys still got the limp from it, right? Still hurts. Yep. I didn't catch it. What did he say?
When your wife says.
Oh! Amen, David. That is wise words. When your wife says. That's really good. You don't ever have to do that, though, do you?
What do you think about self-defense? Like, when you're being attacked and you think, well, I need to defend myself here, but then, maybe the best thing to do is just shut up.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good one as well. CMR, you were going to say something similar?
I agree with her.
Yeah.
When
you see the conversation is not going anywhere. That's right. Let me throw these three at you, and y'all have said these basically. Just as I was thinking about it, these are the three that I came up with, and y'all came up with more, and really good, really, especially the wife one. That's really important. Okay. If she elbows you, shut her down, boys. Right? So when should you shut your mouth? One, when you sense that you can no longer be godly. We've all been there before, right? You're getting to the line and you're thinking, I think I can win if I say this. Okay, but you know that's out of bounds. And so you got to make a decision. Do I want to win or do I want to be godly? And actually, if you're ungodly, you lose, right? So really there's not an option there. You're either godly and win, or you don't, okay? So when you sense that you can no longer be godly, shut your mouth. Two, when you sense that you can no longer be self-controlled. Because, again, you can be ungodly and be in control, right? But there comes a point sometimes where you're saying things, you're like, I don't even know where that came from, right? Because you're just responding, you're fighting fire with fire, and it's coming out, boom, boom. When you sense that you can no longer be self-controlled, shut it down. And finally, and Mary said this one, when you sense that you can no longer make progress toward resolution at this time. Or as Candy said, you're ahead of the Holy Spirit. Both of those are different ways of looking at it, but it's not kind of saying the same thing. You're not getting anywhere right now. When you sense that you can no longer make any progress toward resolution at this time, shut your mouth. You're wasting your breath. Live to fight another day, right? Maybe not fight. Live to try to convince them another day. All right? Finally tonight, to be a godly communicator, follow these four rules when conflict arises. These four rules when conflict arises, because it's going to happen. Communication's going to it leads in conflict, and that's how conflict is worked out. First is be honest. Scripture says clearly to speak what? Truth. How? In love. Be honest. Both sides need to speak truth. All right? You need to do it lovingly. Okay? Do it in a godly manner. Do it without exaggeration. Oftentimes that's what happens, isn't it? It's not that we really say things that are false. We just exaggerate them. And we throw in words like, you always, or you never. We throw in those always and nevers, and usually those are exaggerations. Okay, so you've got to be honest. God, if you're going to be godly, you've got to be honest, okay? So speak the truth. Speak it lovingly. Second is keep current. Keep current. So when you're keeping current, first you have to be selective. I don't have the scripture reference, but it's a proverb, and it says basically this, you good Bereans will find it. It is to one's glory when he overlooks someone's sin. Not every time someone messes up do you have to throw the flag, whoop, and blow the whistle, okay? If you can overlook it, overlook it. Man, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt, right? Maybe they were just having a bad day, or maybe the, you know, maybe they lost, you know, maybe they're in grief, or, you know, you don't know what's going on in their life, so you give them the benefit of the doubt. Be selective. Not every disagreement should result in conflict, so be discerning, okay? But also with this keep current, it means, secondly, that you need to solve today's problems today. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, don't let things go unresolved. Don't let things go unresolved. You got to work them out. You may be the one that clams up, and you want to hide it, stuff it in there, stuff it down, and go another day and pretend like it's not there. That's not healthy. That's not godly. All right, because eventually those that clam up will blow up, okay? And then third, when you think about keeping current here, is that stuff was resolved in the past needs to stay in the past. It needs to stay in the past. And it really depends on, do you want to win or do you want to be right? Or let me say it this way. Do you want to win or do you want to be right with God? Right? Do you want to win or do you want to be godly? Because, man, everybody's got something in their past that, you know, when you get in that argument, you can just pull that out, and it's like the red one or the rook, right? If you play rook. If it's euchre, I don't, you know, whatever it is, all those cards, I get them all confused, right? It's like the trump card. Can you still say trump card in 2018? I don't know. Anyway, I just said it, all right? And you say, I know if I pull this out, I'll win. But the question is, has that been dealt with in the past? Have you forgiven that person of that? Then it's in the past. The Bible says that God takes our sins when he forgets them and he throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. Right? As far as the east is from the west, our transgressions are separated from us. And we've got to, as much as we can as a human being, do that. Stuff that was resolved in the past needs to stay in the past. So that's what I mean by keep current. Be selective. Solve today's problems. Leave the stuff in the past in the past. Let sleeping dogs lie or whatever thing you want to throw in there. Third, when conflict arises, attack the problem instead of the person. Now, what's the difference? What do you see the difference? What's the difference between attacking the problem and attacking the person? Okay, you're shooting the messenger, aren't you? That's right.
Sometimes that person is so far off base in their behavior or their judgment, sometimes it doesn't seem like there's very much difference between the problem and the person.
Could be. Yeah, it's tough. Or when the problem the person has, they so identify with that problem that they can't separate it. And so if you attack the problem, they feel like you're attacking them. But what happens when you attack the person instead of the problem? What's that?
Said he got another problem.
Got another problem, that's right. You ever thrown gasoline on a fire? Right? That's what happens. So if you want to solve the conflict, you've got to find a way to attack the problem. One of the things that I've heard over and over and over again when we come to things like this is that problems are for solving. Problems are for solving. So you got to get in there and you got to work on that problem. I love you. And maybe even affirm them, right? You got to find a way to affirm them. I love you. But this can't happen anymore. You're focusing on the action, not the person. And it's really stupid, or it's really easy. It's really hard. Let me say it again. It's really hard because you want to say, you're an idiot. That's what your flesh wants to do. But it's not going to get you anywhere. They're going to put up their defenses. It's going to throw gas in the fire and all those things, okay? So attack the problem instead of the person. And then finally, the final rule when conflict arises is to act instead of reacting. Act instead of reacting. Because our natural tendency is to react emotionally, isn't it? A reaction is out of control. An action is in control, okay? We want to fight fire with fire, but we got to guard against sinful reactions, guard against bitterness, wrath, sinful anger, screaming, slander, malice, all those things. We've got to act in such a way that brings about a godly resolution. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what, church? Good. Okay? That's an action. That's not a reaction. Reaction, you fight fire with fire. You return evil for evil. But when you act in accordance with the Lord. And hopefully that brings about a godly resolution. It doesn't happen every time. As much as it is possible for you, the scripture says, live at peace with everyone. Sometimes it ain't possible. Sometimes they don't want peace. But as much as possible for you, do that. So, with God's help, you can be a more godly communicator. Here's my final prayer tonight. May our great tools, may our words, may our communication be great tools of construction instead of weapons of mass destruction. That's what I want us to do. May our communication be great tools of construction instead of weapons of mass destruction.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses, where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and He stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that He is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what He has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow Him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.